something I rather enjoy myself, particularly in the safety of my own home. But tonight's stories remind us just how scary it can be. You see, it's not the being alone part that's so bad. It's when you think you're alone and you're not. It changes everything. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This happened when I was in my early teens in the late 80s. My family lived in a very secluded, forested area. We had a long driveway and our small home sat on a square acre of mowed grass with woods on two sides. I was alone late one night, talking with a buddy from school. I often rode my bike to town over the summer and he invited me to come over and spend the night. It was a 20-mile trip over completely empty country roads, but it was always an adventure and I seldom hesitated to go when I had a place to stay. I told him it was a sure thing. I'd call my mother at work and then start my ride. Here's where it gets creepy. Once I hung up the phone and started getting dressed, in all black, I picked up the phone again to call Mom. The line was dead. This had never happened before. It was a sturdy rotary phone and we never had problems with it. My thoughts instantly went to the small phone box on the back of the house. It was a tiny, round junction with nothing but a rubber covering. Behind the cover was the exposed connection between the phone pole and our inside line. The wires were twisted together and capped, but completely vulnerable. I questioned why I would even think about that. Why would I jump to conclusions about the cause of the dead line? I was overwhelmed with a feeling of dread that didn't make sense, and I was wrestling with my thoughts. I decided to behave as though I was in real danger, but calm myself by focusing on how unlikely it was and how my imagination was probably getting the best of me. But I could not shake the feeling that I was in trouble. I finished dressing and strapped my buck knife to my hip. The old Rambo knives with the compass and the stock. It was cheap, but very big. I moved quietly and planned how I would leave the house. I remember this very well. I would slide out the front door and pull it closed behind me, locked. I would not be able to get back in. I would grab my bike from against the wall on the enclosed porch, spin around and use my elbow to press the button of the handle on the screen door and jump down the concrete steps. I'd hop on my bike and speed down the drive. It was very dark outside, but there were bright lights in the front and rear of the house that created big pools in the yard. That's all the light I would have. I executed my maneuver just as I planned, but my elbow slipped off the button on the handle and banged into the door as it opened, and within seconds I was pumping down the gravel drive. I turned my head to the left, filling my ears with the roar of air I was cutting through, and stopped pedaling, my eyes fixed on the rear of the house. I was 100% sure someone was coming. I don't know how or why. It was only a moment, but I didn't look away despite my own skepticism. At the last instant, I saw him. A man, wearing dark clothes and a ski mask. He came tearing out of the lit yard around the back of the house and plunged into the deep shadow along the side, heading for the front, where I had been only seconds ago. I was invisible, wearing black from head to toe, and instead of running straight for me, he went for the porch where the commotion I had just made came from. I turned forward and leaned into the pedals. I could barely see the driveway, but I had ridden my bike down it many times at night, and I could make out the large stone gate posts before the dirt road. I almost wrecked turning the corner, but recovered and sped away. About a mile further, and I finally stopped at the intersection to a paved road. My heart was pounding in my chest, and my forehead was sweaty. I stood there for a bit and got my breathing under control while I tried to digest what had just happened. My thoughts were racing. I knew damn well what I saw, but I was out of danger. All I could do was press on. My neighbors were Amish. No phones. I wouldn't have known what to say anyway. When I got to my friend's house much later, I told him what happened and called my mother. She listened and didn't give me a hard time, but I could tell she didn't know what to think. She wouldn't be home until morning and said she'd be careful. And that was it. I had heard laughter once from the edge of the woods, and things in the yard had been moved on occasion, but no one else had these experiences, and I assumed it was backwards Amish kids fooling around. Nothing had ever really happened before. I doubt Amish kids would know how to disconnect a phone line, though. No one ever believed these kind of situations 17 years ago, and it was disheartening back then and even now. I'm 31 now, but I was a teen when I was walking home one sunny day. It was winter, but winter in Florida is just a nice, cool breeze. I remember holding a Tupperware in my hand that was still hot, containing pasta and broccoli my grandma had just made. It was so cool living one block away from my grandma because a quick 10-minute walk meant I got some really good leftovers. In between my house and her house was a patch of woods, but thorns and ticks prevented me from taking a shortcut, though. I remember looking down at the sidewalk just as I reached the middle of the patch of woods to my right. I heard someone ask,
"Hey, where are you going?"
I looked up and to my left towards the road. A thin man in a white van with his window rolled down smiled at me. He was driving the opposite direction of the way I was walking. I simply said,
"Home,"
and continued to walk. He started to say,
"Hey, hey."
So I looked back to see him hanging out of his driver window.
"I'll give you a ride home. Come here,"
he says. I kept walking and loudly say,
"No thanks."
I stopped and turned around when I heard him drive away. I began walking again, creeped out, wishing that the woods didn't run so long next to the sidewalk. I remember wishing I was home already. I was super alert now, hearing every critter in the brush to my right rustling leaves and scurrying about. I pick up my pace, reminding myself that those woods were packed with lizards. I said it to myself out loud.
"It's just lizards running about, silly."
But then I hear a vehicle coming up behind me. Out of fear, I look back, and to my horror, it's the same white van with the man still smiling. The van slows down next to me, and a big, angry-looking man flung open the side door and jumped out. I turned to my right and began running as fast as I could into the woods. I was jumping over bushes and long vines, clenching my grandma's Tupperware for dear life. I looked back once, and the thick brush of the woods was slowing the big man down. I knew just going straight I would reach my backyard guarded by a chain-link fence. I remember the thorns and sticks slicing my skin, but I couldn't feel the pain. I just kept thinking,
"Run!"
Once I reached the fence, I chucked the Tupperware and hoisted myself over, ripping my jeans, and face planted on the ground on the other side with a loud thud. I ran onto my porch and began banging the back door. My dad lets me in and I'm literally panicking, covered in dirt and cuts, trying to lock the back door. I felt safe to be back home with my dad and our Rottweilers. He sat me down and started questioning me and immediately called the cops. The cops arrived and took a report. They said,
"Nothing like that ever happened in my area before."
And one even told me lying for attention was, quote unquote, against the law. I remember they left and my dad swore that he believed me, that I could sleep in his room that night if I wanted. I remember feeling really sad and frustrated about not being believed and going to bed without even eating the pasta with broccoli. It was hard to sleep or go anywhere for months after that because I was scared the men were still out there. My dad ended up getting me a cell phone and installing an alarm system to help me feel safe. I still have issues being alone to this day. To the men that tried to abduct me that day, let's never meet again. Hello, Nightmare Family. Just a quick reminder that if you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by liking, sharing, commenting, subscribing, and most importantly, sharing with your friends. I have this both on most podcast streaming apps as well as YouTube. So in whatever way you prefer to listen, please do show some love. Thank you. I attend high school at a religious college preparatory school. That's pretty bad because I'm actually a closeted trans person, and those schools pound ideas like homosexuality and transgenderism are sinful in nature. But I'm getting off topic. My school has this nice wooded area surrounding it, and if you follow either way out of the school, you'll end up at a little shopping area in front of the school. I like to take long walks through the woods to help clear my mind or just to be alone for a bit. However, I'm not sure if I can ever step foot in those woods without thinking about what happened tonight. There was a home football game this evening. My brother wanted to go, and naturally my parents forced me to go. The law of twins. The worst law. I only stayed for about 2 quarters before walking around and forcing myself to socialize a little bit. Even though I didn't like most of them, it was better than football. During the 4th quarter or something like that, I asked my brother if I can go back to the car, which is parked in the shopping area across the way, so I can start it up and be ready to go by the time he walks over. He gives me the keys to our shared car and I make my way to the car. While walking through the parking lot, I decide to take a quicker shortcut through the woods. And that's when the craziness starts. I swear I could hear someone walking behind me, but every time I turned around, I was met with an empty trail. I found this odd, but dismissed it as paranoia. I kept walking, but I began to feed this paranoia, and eventually I was able to convince myself to speed up to a brisk pace so I can avoid getting snatched up by this invisible threat that was pursuing me. As I sped up, I realized the footsteps I kept hearing wasn't my mind fucking with me, but actual reality. I looked behind me to see a guy in a black hoodie sprinting after me. Panicked, I began to pick up my pace. I could see the edge of the woods and the lights of the shopping center, before 2 other hooded guys jump out in front of me. forcing me to take a left and into uncharted territory. I could hear all three of them screaming obscenities at me. I didn't even know who these guys were. Their voices were filled with the strongest of spite and the darkest of intent. It was horrifying, and I wouldn't wish the experience upon my worst enemies. Eventually, I found myself in a neighborhood at the northern end of the woods and turned around to see nothing chasing me. I stopped to catch my breath and cried. I couldn't help myself. The words they said were too violent, even if they were teens or adults. I didn't know if they were empty or a promise to something I could see in the future. Eventually, I calmed myself down and walked myself back to the stores across the street, found my car, and locked the doors the second I got inside. I didn't even use my phone. I just scanned the area around me, making sure these creeps didn't follow me. So, hooded forest freaks, let's not meet. This happened to me at 2 a.m. last night. I work out of an art studio in downtown Fargo, North Dakota. It's between the two shadiest bars in town, so I see a lot of odd people. Usually my interactions with them are harmless or sad, but from time to time someone comes along that really freaks me out. Last night I was pulling a late one and ended up leaving around 2 a.m. When I left my shop, I saw that a train was coming through, so I knew I would have to wait for a while. On my side of the street, I saw a group of men standing around and talking. When I stopped, they all looked at me and my gut dropped hard. I really cannot stress how this gut feeling seemed so instinctual. I see people by these bars all the time, but this was a different sensation. They began to walk to me. I turned to go back to my shop and they increased their pace. The image that is burned into my brain is the one in front. He had a cigarette sticking out of his mouth and was clearly pretending to look the other way as he came near. I dashed into my shop, slammed the door closed, and locked it. The man or men tried to open it and began pounding on the other side.
Let me in, man.
I grabbed a hatchet from the tools and talked through the locked door. One thing I have learned from working downtown around these people is that you need to keep a cool demeanor. If you get aggressive or have fear in your voice, they tend to stick around. If my responses seem odd, that is why. Let me be clear. I was terrified.
What's up, man?
I asked.
We got some ladies out here. Let us in. We just want to have a good time.
Not interested. Leave me alone.
We got more ladies coming. Come on.
He tried to open the door again. I called 911 and could hear him talking to his friends out front. They weren't laughing, just talking. That chilled me. Usually the creeps downtown are just drunk and rude. They laugh and blunder around. These guys did not sound drunk. Police showed up and were kind enough to drive me home. The group was nowhere to be seen. The thing that freaks me out the most is that I am an average-sized dude in his mid-20s. The clothes I was wearing were my shop clothes and did not scream carrying cash, quote unquote. Usually I'm the one walking girls to their cars and diffusing situations. I don't know what they wanted. If I wasn't closer to my shop, I don't know what would have happened. So, guys outside the shop, let's not meet. My my sincerest of thanks to user Better Than Spez, user Canacris88, user Trans with the Plans, and user Jonah365 for allowing me to share their stories. Also, if you are part of the LGBTQ community and are struggling or just need someone to talk to, consider visiting the trevorproject.org. They also have a helpline you can call 1-866-488-7386. And for anyone who may be struggling, please reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Lastly, I'm not a counselor or a qualified anything, but I can be a friend. You can reach me at nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com, on Instagram at nightmaresocietyradio, and on Twitter at society_radio. Let's look out for one another. Thank you for listening, and stay safe.